Lord, as we study this passage together, may we learn more of who you are and who we are in Christ. Amen. The Israelites were on a journey. God delivered them from slavery in Egypt, through the Red Sea, and into the desert, with Moses at the lead. Their destination, the Promised Land. Now, just before our passage, God had delivered them from attack. The aggressors were Amalekites, a foreign nation, Gentiles, which just means non-Israelites. And following our passage, the Lord's presence was displayed in all its glory, in fire and smoke at Mount Sinai, during the giving of the Ten Commandments, the law. Throughout, God was revealing more and more of himself to his people, the Israelites. There was so much going on. Yet here, in the middle of that, is today's passage, chapter 18. I love it. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, decides to pay Moses a visit. And there's even detail of the message he sent, verse 6, halfway down. I, your father-in-law, Jethro, I'm coming to you with your wife and her two sons. Moses goes to greet him. They hug, they kiss. Moses gets quality time with his wife and kids. It's great. But why is this story here? Is it misplaced? I looked in a Bible commentary on Exodus, and by a respected theologian, he totally misses this chapter out. So this morning, I'd like us to explore the passage and just see what we can learn. After the initial greeting, Moses takes Jethro into a tent. The camp was near the mountain of God. Look with me at verse 8. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way, and how it was the Lord who saved them. Jethro, hearing this, praised the Lord, saying, verse 11, now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods. This was a big deal. Here for the first time in Exodus, Moses witnesses about his faith to a non-Israelite who gives a right response to hearing the good news of the Lord. Jethro was a priest of Midian. These people were not Israelites. Pharaoh didn't get it. The Amalekites didn't get it. But the Midianites, through Jethro, did. At least for a while, they remained enemies of Israel. Now, we don't know if Jethro was converted. We're just not told. But we do know this Gentile had glimpsed something of the sovereignty of God. He brought a burnt offering, sacrifices, and the elders of Israel joined him to eat. Jethro recognized that this Exodus community is different and wishes to be associated with it. The all-important first steps of a journey for anyone towards faith. God reveals himself in Exodus events to make himself known To Israel, his chosen people, yes, but his purposes have always been, chapter 9, so that his name may be proclaimed throughout the earth. Paul, in one of his letters, compares the Jewish nation to an olive tree whose natural branches have been broken off and we Gentiles grafted in. Saved by the covenant promise God had made to Abraham and his seed. Romans chapter 11. Through Jesus, we have become descendants of Abraham, children of God, co-heirs with Christ. Galatians chapter 3. It was always God's intention. We were never an afterthought. Here, in chapter 18, the community of faith confesses its identity and a Gentile recognizes something of God's sovereignty. And we're told this took place just before Mount Sinai. We are called to join Moses through Christ in saying, Psalm 96, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all other gods. Jethro spends a night, and the second half of our passage takes place the following day. Moses sat as judge for all the people, and they queued from morning till night to seek God's will, and they all brought their disputes to Moses at his seat. He considers each case in turn, then informs them of God's decrees and laws. The whole process, it would have been repeated day after day after day. Jethro watches, then says in verse 17, what you are doing, Moses, is not good. You're wearing yourself and these people out. He's basically saying, your workload is crazy, Moses. What is going on? Moses, called and anointed by God to lead, committed to serve those entrusted to him, was suffering from a classic case of burnout. Have you ever been there? We're all leaders in some shape or form, called to ministries with our families, at work, here, at church. Have you ever felt pressed? Most of us know what that is like. Have you ever said to yourself something like, where are you, Lord? You called me to this and I obediently follow. I remember your guidance, your help in the past. So why are you silent now? In Exodus, Moses knew God as deliverer, provider, protector, and guide. But here in chapter 18, the Lord seems quiet. Creator God chooses to grow his kingdom through us, through fallible men and women, gives us freedom of choice. And to do this, yes, he takes a step back, loosens those apron strings, allows us the freedom to grapple with problems, make progress, and even make mistakes. All the while, he is with us by his Spirit in Christ, and is working He's at work using our experiences to refine us in the fire, transform us from within, mold us into his likeness because we are his. Back to our passage. Moses, called and anointed to lead, thought that leading meant doing everything himself. In Genesis 2, the Lord created Adam and then said, "It is not good for man to be alone," and gave him a helper, Eve. And in Exodus, just before our passage, in the battle with those Amalekites, the Lord only allows them to win if Moses keeps his arms outstretched. That must have been for hours. It was only possible through the supporting hands of others, Aaron and Hur. And here in our passage, Jethro gives Moses sound advice. He simply says, delegate, appoint junior judges who you can trust, enable your people, share the load. Now, verse 24 tells us Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. And just as well, because through that, Moses was able to set in place an early framework for the justice system that was used by this Israelite community. And secondly, it freed him up to do other things like spending time with the family and preparing for that all-important mountain climb. As part of the body of Christ, we can be a blessing to others and they a blessing to us. Like Moses, we can have a genuine heart to serve, but our natural nature can get in the way, tempt us to seek stuff like perfection as we serve, self-satisfaction, control, a desire to stay within our comfort zones, when our focus should go back to the nurturing of others, their gifting, their growth. Because it is through the body that God's treasure lies. 1 Corinthians 12. We're coming to the end now. We began by asking why this passage about Jethro's visit is in the book of Exodus at all, and saw it's here that Moses witnesses to his faith and a non-Israelite gives a right response, saying, "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods." And he also had an influence in the early part of the setting up of Israel's justice system. It's a reminder that we who are in Christ and not from a Jewish background have always been a part of God's plan. And in the second half of the passage, we saw Moses struggle under the weight of his workload. God calls and then enables us to serve him in the world. When we get stuck, when it seems like he's silent, bring that thing to him in prayer. Meditate on scripture, listen and receive from him there, saying to you, saying to me, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. Zephaniah chapter 3. In 2 Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. We could spend the rest of the morning quoting verse after verse after verse, diving headfirst. Immerse yourself in his truths, his words, where he speaks to us. He is ever present and never silent. Let us pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for your words. Help us to hear you day by day as we journey along, as we serve. Amen.